Well, good morning, everyone. Good having you with us this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's actually getting warm out there. I think it was like 27 degrees when we pulled in, so I'm sure it's warmer now. So I'm hoping all the snow comes off the roofs or at least starts because it's about yay deep on mine. And I'd sure like to get that off without going up there to try to shovel it. But anyway, turn, if you would, with me to 2 Kings. And we're going to start in chapter 5 this morning. I'd like to talk about Naaman. Naaman was an army commander of the Syrian army. And Naaman had a problem. He had leprosy. So he's really wanting to deal with that. And I believe what the Lord is really trying to show us here, at least the way I took it as I read this, was that it's important for us to prepare. You know, it's important for us to pray. We want something for God. Maybe we should learn to prepare to meet God and to receive what we need. And I think a lot of times we maybe don't think about that. I know I hadn't thought about it. You know, I just feel like praying about something. I just go ahead and pray. That's okay. But I'm wondering if it wouldn't be even better and get better results if I had my heart totally right, if my attitude was leaning towards the Lord and what he wants rather than just what I want. So let's just look at how that might work in our lives. Let me pray, though, first. We're just going to go. I'm not going to read the whole text, but we're going to go 2 Kings 5 and then 1 through 14. So, Father, I ask that you would bless your word today. Father, that you would indeed help us to prepare ourselves, to meet with you, to talk with you, to receive from you, and to give to you. Father, I believe, as you've shown me, that it's so important that our hearts be right towards you so that you can indeed bless rather than just not saying anything or nothing actually happening. And a lot of us become discouraged because of that. So Lord, I just thank you that in your word, you give us truth and direction. And I pray that we would take that today and apply it to our lives, that we could indeed approach you in good standing with the right heart. And Lord, that we could indeed be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting in verse 1 here, it says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." Verse 2. "And the Syrians had gone out on a raid and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.'" You know, the first thing I notice about this is the young girl's a captive. She was stolen, taken from her family. Don't know what happened to her family. Maybe they were killed at the time. But they took her back and then made her a slave for this household. And I'm thinking that Naaman and his household, his wife and family, must have been pretty good people, pretty nice people, for this young girl that was captured, taken to a foreign land, for her to really fall in love with the family, and as if she became one of them almost, where she'd said, boy, I wish my master, she was feeling sorry for him, I wish my master would go maybe to Samaria and be with the prophet that's there so he'd get his healing. And then Naaman's wife told him about what the girl had said. So right away he went to the king. He's seen hope. He's seen promise. Hey, there's a chance. You know, I want to go see that prophet. And as this young girl said from Israel, that I would receive my healing. So I believe that, I know, Naaman prepared. I think he prepared to receive his blessing. Because what he did is he started getting all kinds of things together, silver, gold, all of that was put together. And even talking to the king, he got a letter from the king. And, he was prepared. But taking all of the gold and the silver and the 10 changes of clothing, as you read down. So he prepared himself to bless the prophet for his healing. You know, I think a lot of times we go to the Lord or we come to church and we go for prayer, but rather being convinced that we're going to receive, a lot of times we go with maybe a little doubt. Well, I prayed before and it didn't happen. Don't know for sure if it will now. We'll see. Just go in hope. Naaman didn't go in hope. He went with expectation, with great expectation, to receive from the prophet because he was told that if he went to him, that he would be healed. And I think that's how we need to come. When we come for prayer, we need to come with expectation, not just hope it works. You understand what I'm saying? Because there are a lot of times we have that little bit of doubt, that little bit of unbelief. And I think what we need to learn to do is really go to God, search him out, get in the scriptures. What does the word say? Is God for healing or is he against healing? Does God love you or does he just love your neighbor? You know, we need to get that down. What's God's will? What does he want for us? Am I really his child, and does he beat his children and love to see him sick? Do you love to see your children sick? See, we need to get into the word. What does the word say? What does God promise? What does God want for us? Who are we in him? What does his love mean? Is it that he loves us from a distance and then he just lets us go and whatever happens to us happens? Or if bad things does happen, are we allowed to go with to him and then to expect to receive, or do we just go to him and hope dad hears? You know, kind of like I was taught in the Catholic Church, you never go to God to pray for something. You go to Mary and you pray to her because she's closer to the Lord than what we are. And besides, you know how it is in the family. If you want something really, you go to mom. And then mom will go to dad if she needs to. Isn't that how it works? But see, that's how we do. It's like we're hesitant to really go to God with expectations. But the thing is, we got to learn to prepare. Folks, we go to God and we want something from him and we want to pray, but we hate our neighbor. Or we've got problems with somebody else that we don't like now because of what they did. But yet we'll go to God and say, oh, Lord, bless me. Do for me. When we should be going to God and saying, Lord, help me to forgive. Let me forgive my neighbor. Lord, I ask that you would just bless them. And we'd go so far as to say, Lord, if I can bless them, if there's something I need to do or can do. You see, God doesn't just want us to forgive, but God wants us to love. And a lot of us feel good just to forgive. Of course, we hate them. We don't want anything to do with them, you know, but we've forgiven them for what they've done. But let's just stay clear of them. Far be it that we would go and actually bless them. You know, we might go as far as to pray blessings on them that we'd rather have for us, but we're kind of feeling a little religious today, so I'm going to pray a little blessing on them. When God's saying, that's not good enough. You need to really bless them. Go out of your way for them. You see, the thing is, preparation time, sometimes it hurts. But I want to tell you, as you get prepared and you're ready to go with God, it's like, whatever, Lord, you ask. Whatever. Because I know you have the best, your best plan for me. But I need to learn to get out of the way with my feelings and my thoughts and trust you in everything. So I need to prepare. I need to prepare my heart and my life. And then I need to change because the Lord's going to show me things. And then I need to trust and obey that we sing. So it's really important. So he prepared to go, taking great blessings with him. And he went with expectations. So do we prepare ourselves for our healing, for whatever, the experience that we're looking for? How about the woman with the issue of blood? Matthew 9:21 talks about that. It says, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. See, she prepared. She knew exactly what she wanted to do, and she didn't just say, well, boy, I hope touching the hem of his garment will work. I sure hope that works. I don't know, man. It's a big risk that I'm taking to go in through the crowd because they could stone me. But you see, she prepared. She said in her heart, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. And she did it. And guess what happened? She was made well. You see, I get so concerned and I wonder, God, why do you heal and bless the people in third world countries who can't even afford to go to the doctor and don't have the luxuries of that like we do? They either just suffer with it, or they die, or they learn how to receive. Now, I've gone to third world countries, and I want to tell you, you pray for them, don't even doubt. Just pray for them. They're healed. No matter how bad they are, what the disease is or the problem, they're instantly healed. But you come here to America, for the most part, we can live without God. And most people do. Not really a good life. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of problems in the family, like the one I did the funeral for, a month or so ago? Where he was killed by his best friend, and they said how he was such a happy guy and so friendly, and he didn't know a stranger. Well, we got an email about what actually happened, because nobody knew. What happened is he always fought with his best friend. They'd fight one day, and the next day they were best of friends again. But this happy guy was starting to see his ex-wife and talk with her. And he told him, he says, if you talk to my ex-wife, I'll kill you. Well, he went to his house, I think, after he had talked with his ex-wife, probably just to brag to him or whatever. And the guy brought out a gun, I don't know if it was a rifle or a pistol, shot him 16 times. So he had to reload. And the last round, it says that he stood over him and shot him in the back of the head and called it self-defense. Folks, I'm telling you, people are living and trying to live without God. And we are not to be that way. We are learning how to prepare so that we can receive from God. See, this is not a game that we're playing. God wants to bless his people. But we need to prepare so that we can receive. God says, if I continue, how about your kids if they mess up big time about something? And then they ask you to bless them. Oh, can I get the car tonight? I want to go out with my friends. You know, do you say, oh, sure, keys are over there. You just go ahead and help yourself. Tank is full. Don't worry about gas. Need some extra money? Do you do that? You say, wait a minute, you messed up. And I can't be allowing this. You're grounded for a week. And then what we do? You see, that's what the preparation time is for us, is to get things right with the Father so that he can bless us and honor our wishes and our desires and our hearts as we lift them up to him. It's preparation time. We need to prepare. Matthew 17, 20 and 21 says this. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, you see, this father brought his demon-possessed son to his disciples to have him cast out for the son to be healed of the epileptic fits that he was having. They tried and couldn't. At that time, Jesus got there and he said, bring him to me. And so they brought him to Jesus. And let's read it then. He says, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. But he says, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Folks, he said, just a little bit of faith. A lot of people say, well, I probably won't get it because I don't have as much faith as you do. All you need is just a little bit. But get your heart right. In other words, prepare so that God can bless you. Because the Lord says this. He says, the reason you couldn't do it was, first of all, because of your unbelief. You didn't prepare. You wasn't ready for this conquest, this issue that came up, this big problem. Said you wasn't ready for it. Because he said at the very end, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. See, they wasn't prepared. They weren't prepared for it. You know, there was a lady, I think I've told it before, and she came to our house and met her at church. She was a singer and all of this. And she said, I've heard of you guys' ministry. Can I set up an appointment with you? I said, sure. So we set up the appointment. She came in that day. Of course, we're prepared. You know, I'm with the Lord. I prepared. I'm trying to get ready for this, Lord. You know, remove obstacles and set things straight here and give me a clear mind that I could hear you. And anyway, this gal came and She was throwing out these F-bombs. I'm like, what in the world? You come into my house and use that kind of language? I said, how dare you? And she would still use it. Well, we sat down. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but we're going to have to deal with this real soon. And she throws out a couple more. And then my wife asked her a question, like, how are you doing, or what is going here, that? And she gave her a real snotty answer, very disrespectful. And I said, I want to tell you right now, you keep this up and I'm throwing you out. And all of a sudden, she started spitting up demons. If you've ever been in deliverance ministry, you've seen that happen all the time. And I'm like, dumbest demons I ever seen. I wasn't even talking to them, but they thought I was. You see, they thought I was. And they started coming out. And we dealt with that for just a few minutes. Pretty soon it's all gone. And then she says, wow, thank you. I feel so much better. She didn't even know what was going on. She had no idea. Well, I seen her the next week at church. She says, man, I talked to my mother and I told her, you need to go there for ministry. She said, I don't know what they did, but man, I felt so good afterwards. But you see, folks, we got to be prepared. Do we prepare when we come to church on Sunday morning? Are we prepared really to have the word come upon us and work in us and through us, that the Holy Spirit would minister and set us free and lead us into new directions and give us his strength and his power and his peace? So we need to prepare to receive. God wants to bless us. But you know, he went to the king in verses 7 and 8. You'll see that he went to the king. Let me read it. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that his king, that Naaman's king, wrote to him. It says that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. He was offended. He was offended at it. Tore his clothes. He's like, man, that war's starting now. I'm getting my armies ready. But it says in the next verse, in 8, it says, so it was when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. Folks, when we learn to prepare to receive from the Lord, that's what you can say to people that you minister. Either you minister to them, or if they're talking issues, hey, you need to come to Jesus as Lord, church. We'll get that taken care of. And we'll show you that God really moves in this world and that he really loves you. So we'll see you Sunday. Amen? So, he went to Elijah. Now, I want you to listen to this while we prepare. Well, let me give you this verse first, if I can. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So believing is a big deal. And we at times really have to prepare in order to get to the right point on that. So he went, here they go with his whole entourage, horses and chariots and all of that that went with this commander of the Syrian army. And they all lined up and stood in front of Elisha's cabin. Elijah had a cabin in the mountains. So they all stood there. And what Elisha did is he sent a servant out and said, well, just tell him to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he'll be healed. You know, he didn't even go out to honor this guy. He sent a messenger. Kind of degraded the guy. Because this is what this guy said later on. So in verse 8, he sent it out. Then in verse 9, Naaman, he was at the house 10. Elijah sent the messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored. Verse 11, but Naaman became furious and went away sad and said this, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. You know, has your expectations always worked out? You know, they work out, but usually it's a different way. God says, no, I'd rather do it my way. Because there's so many things I would plan and I would just know how God would do it or could do it. And he never did do that. But Naaman became angry because they didn't show him respect. Do they know who I am? I'm important. Kind of like working at the airport. And the old airport, has you ever been in the old airport? You know where the luggage area is? We would hit a button and the doors would raise up and you're right there. We'd throw the luggage out. People would be there and they'd grab their stuff. Well, this one day, Steve and I were throwing the luggage out. And finally, we had the carts empty. It was all out. Finally, the luggage is all gone. People grabbed it. There's one guy left standing there with his arms folded. Had a nice suit on and everything. We figured, yeah, he's probably a lawyer or something. You know, he kind of had that attitude. Not that all lawyers are like that. We got good tax collectors too. But but anyway, he said to us, looked at us, folded. He said, where's my luggage? And we said, well, maybe it'd be on the next flight. He said, do you know who I am? Yeah, Steve looked at me and he said, here's another one that doesn't know who he is. We shut the doors. This is kind of how Naaman felt. Know what I'm saying? This is where Naaman was. I said, and I seen in my heart, he would come out and honor me, seeing how important I was. And then he would pray and call on his God. And then he would just wave his hand over it and I would be healed and be on my way. But the servant came out and instead told him to go to a muddy river. The Jordan was a dirty river. And go wash in it. Well, great. I remember as a kid, I was the third in line for a bath. And we had a cistern, so we didn't have a lot of water. And we had this tub, but so deep, and you'd put like 3 or 4 buckets of water in there, 5-gallon buckets of water. Well, my two sisters would be in there, and they'd take a bath first. Well, then it's my turn, and the water's filthy. You know, I'm like, really? Am I even going to get clean in that? So I'd go ahead and take my bath, you know, but I didn't feel any better, just wet. And but that's how it was. So Naaman complained about that. He said, are not the rivers in Syria, all of them way better than this thing here that they tell me to wash in. He said, at least I could go and wash in the rivers in Syria and at least get clean, you know. So he was having a real problem with complaining. Let me ask you, have you anybody ever complained? You know, when things are done, we tend to look at things and maybe talk a little bit about. Naaman was complaining. And you know, in Philippians, the Lord talks about complaining. And he tells us that it's not a good idea. I think it's, Philippians 2:14 through 16, it talks, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Folks, that's what we need to prepare. Otherwise, we become like the world. And God says that's a problem. Then we begin complaining and not liking things, and we're not happy. And you've heard, well, if mom isn't happy at home, nobody's happy at home. And that's true. But it's not the way that we should go. But you know, his servants, Naaman's servants, you see, he was going to lose his blessing. He was going to go back without being healed because he wouldn't listen. He had prepared, but not in the one way that he needed to. See, his pride rose up. When we prepare, we deal with our pride. God deals with it. Why do you think God had Elisha send a servant out to tell him what to do? Because he wanted to bruise that pride that Naaman had. You know, well, he was a big general. Everybody jumped when he talked. If they even thought he wanted something, they would go get it. It didn't happen that way. He wasn't honored. He wasn't lifted up, shown as being privileged. And they said, if he would have told you to do something great, he said, wouldn't you have done that? How about now when he says, just go wash seven times into Jordan, you'll be whole. And then Naaman relented, said, well, you're right. He went down, washed seven times, and it said that his skin now became as a young child's, totally healed. Folks, that's what we need to prepare. Otherwise, we miss a lot of times the blessings of God. When we pray for our children and different things to help them out, and we want them blessed, folks, sometimes we've got to get things right with God. And maybe I can go over real fast some of the things that prepares, that we go through several forms of preparation. One is spiritual readiness. God desires to prepare our hearts spiritually, that this may involve growing in faith, understanding God's word more deeply, purifying our hearts. How about faith and trust? God wants to learn, wants us to learn. In fact, he even tests our faith. And our faith, when it's tested, produces patience. I think somebody said this morning, we need to be patient. Trust, obey, and be patient in what God says. How about growth and maturity? Preparing, preparation time can be used for us to mature in character and in understanding of God's will. Romans 5, 3 through 4, if you want to read that. Another one is aligning with God's timing. You know, God has a timing, and it's not always right now. God's timing is perfect, and sometimes what we are waiting for is not just for our hearts and minds to be, it's because our hearts and minds aren't prepared at the time. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So just because it's not happening now doesn't mean God said no. He's just saying it's not time yet. While waiting for healing, it is beneficial to remain prayerful, seeking wisdom and openness to what God may be doing during this time of your preparation. Trust God, seek His presence, and know that He is working all things together for good for those who love Him. That's Romans 8, 28. So may we find comfort in His steadfast love and infinite wisdom during times of waiting and preparation. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, help us to really be in tune, to learn to prepare ourselves so that we can be blessed. And Lord, not only that we can be blessed, but that we can be a blessing to others and bring You honor and glory in all that we do. So Father, thank You this morning for Your word. Let it change our lives forever. And I want to read this blessing over you. I think it's important. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Thank You, Father. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So